From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, April 17th, 2012. This weekly podcast brings you the latest information on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francica, today in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Last week, the Commercial Mobile Alert System, that's CMOS, went live. The system sends an alert to mobile device users about nationwide as well as local emergencies. I bet you knew that, right? Well, in case you've never heard of CMOS and the very specific mobile location-based emergency alerts that are issued by this program, then listen in as we delve into both government and commercial services that will tell you if you are in the path of danger. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Esri. Create high-quality 3D content from your existing GIS data with Esri City Engine. Download a free 30-day trial to begin today at esri.com/cityengine.
If that sound is familiar to you, that is the Emergency Alert System, sometimes known as the Emergency Broadcasting System, or at least that's what it was known as until about 1997. That's an emergency alert that usually comes on your TV or radio when there's some impending situation going on locally. Could be weather-related, another like a national emergency. And I want to talk about this system that's being rolled out by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Federal Communications System that essentially goes a little bit more location-specific than these broad alerts that people are much more familiar with. Before I go into that, I have to say that the launch of the commercial mobile alert system was really, really soft. I thought it would have much more attention. But before we get into the specifics of CMAS, I want to tell you why I'm so interested in covering this story. And it goes back about 6 years ago when I was in Hawaii, and it was very close to the epicenter of two earthquakes that occurred 7 minutes apart. One a 6.6, the other a 6.2 magnitude earthquake. And it knocked out power, and we were kind of left to fend for ourselves as to whether a tsunami would result from this. Well, the responsible party in alerting people to whether they're going to be involved in a national event that would cause them danger is generally the civil defense authorities. However, there was no power. There was no alerting capabilities. Everything was knocked out. So we were kind of in the dark about whether this was a tsunami-genic event. Now, not everyone is proximal to earthquake epicenters or events like tsunamis, but we all may experience weather-related things like tornadoes or flash floods or hurricanes or other natural or as well as terrorist threats. And we want to know if we are in danger and whether we believe the government should tell us whether we're in danger. I mean, we're spending huge tax dollars on weather systems, and I might add geospatial intelligence, to help us to be warned about such things. So along comes the Commercial Mobile Alert System, CMOS, and I learned about it that it went live, not knowing that this was going live from a report in Government Technology Magazine. I want to start by telling you what this thing is. It is a new public safety system that allows customers who own an enabled mobile device to receive geographically targeted text-like messages alerting them of imminent threats to safety in their area. Now, in researching this story, I learned that CMOS is not the only name for the system. There's actually the more colloquial version is called PLAN, or the Personal Localized Alerting Network, and that is sponsored specifically by the FCC. So PLAN and CMOS are about exactly the same thing, and they are complements to the Emergency Alert System, which again is sponsored by the FCC and FEMA. So here we have the PLAN or the CMOS or whatever you want to call it. And what it does is it's supposed to give you localized alerts to when you are in the path of danger. Now, all of this came about several years ago, actually right about the time that I was experiencing this earthquake. And it's a result of something called the WARN Act, or the Warning Alert and Response Network Act that requires participating wireless carriers to activate the plan technology by this time, April 2012. And that was determined by the FCC. And participants in this plan will be people like AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile, Verizon, all of the commercial providers. And this system interfaces to the wireless emergency alert system. This thing is live. And nobody knew about it. And it's not like we as mobile device users have to opt into it or subscribe to it. It's just going to be there. And one of the things that was noted was that there may be some confusion if you get an alert because nobody's been educated about that. So we have a situation, Adina, where the government is enacting this plan. It's very localized. In other words, the alerts will be very localized. You're going to get a warning if you are in some sort of danger. And I'm just very surprised that we haven't heard more about this. And it's a great use of location-based services, but it's just sitting there and we haven't heard. So that's where we sit today. And my first comment is I'm just very surprised.
Well, I'm not so surprised because, remember, not all of the carriers have even implemented the technology that they need to broadcast these messages. The only phones that support it are those manufactured by about mid-2011. So even if an alert went out, it wouldn't go out on all the networks, and it certainly wouldn't reach all the phones. This is a slow process, and I have to believe that any technology that they're going to roll out to do something like this is going to take some time. So I think a soft rollout may not be completely inappropriate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, that may be true. It just was a bit surprising that I came upon this. We, at least in the geo media, were never alerted to that. And yet here's a very interesting program that has actually been building up over a period of time. And just as an additional way of background, this system sort of hooks into another FEMA system called the Integrated Public Alert and Warning System. And that was done just a couple of years ago. Again, these are geographically targeted warnings, and primarily bigger types of warnings. In other words, things that the president may want to broadcast to the greater public about imminent threats. It could also be a more regional nature, like an Amber Alert. There were a lot of these systems that were kind of lining up to eventually get to this point of the commercial mobile alert system. While this is going on, the other things have been happening in the commercial space that, to me, kind of take their place. And there are several commercial services that are available to warn you. Because, for example, down here in the South, when we get an alert about a tornado and the National Weather Service issues a warning or a watch, it's countywide. It's not very location specific. And I think what a lot of this is a reaction to and a plan to get more specific towards very, very localized location-based alerts. And now we see commercial entities jumping into the fray. So I guess my question is, who do you think ought to take control of this? Is this more of a government-wide thing, or do you think that the commercial space has more of a responsibility to commercialize the whole type of warning and alert systems?
Well, we're in this weird place where the government makes the data, if you will, in a lot of cases, and then the government and the private sector repackage and repurpose that data. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly how the weather works. So I think we're going to have both. And here's my guess as to what's going to happen. You're going to either sign up for one of these private kind of services, and you are going to be automatically signed up for CMOS, whether you want to or not. You can actually remove yourself from two of the kinds of alerts, the Amber Alerts and the emergency notifications, but you cannot unsubscribe from the presidential notifications. Now, what those will be, I don't know. But so you are automatically opted in, and you can opt out of two of the three kinds of alerts. And I think what's going to happen is if you have a good experience with CMOS, you'll stay in. If you have a bad experience with CMOS, like you got the wrong information, you were warned of something which didn't happen in your area, you're going to unsubscribe. And I think the same thing will happen from the private sector. You're going to consumers are going to, in a sense, vote with the success of the warning.
This kind of sets up an interesting dynamic because this is a partnership between the government and the commercial wireless providers about serving up these alerts. And certainly, whether the wireless providers themselves or people who are developing apps on an API for those providers could develop certainly the same kind of alerting solutions. One of the things that's being done down here in Alabama, where I am, certainly as a reaction to last year's April 27th tornadoes that killed over 200 people in the state, a local company, Barron Services, Bob Barron, who I know and who has spoken on a Rocket City conference, he actually took it upon himself and his company to develop something called SafetyNet, which is a statewide weather alerting service that's being provided at no cost to all the residents of Alabama. And it's designed to notify those in the path of dangerous weather situations through a text messaging. And it was a big deal was made out of it. The governor of the state kind of saluted and said, this is really great. It's something they're doing for a public service. And so here's a commercial entity doing something for the citizens of the state. And knowing Bob and his real focus on and concern for citizens, wanted to do this as something for the state. So I think it's really, really interesting, and it's really great. Again, it's one of these public-private partnerships, but it's truly funded by a commercial entity. So we'll be very interested to see how it works.
Well, and let's dig a little deeper into the location-based part of this whole discussion. So CMOS, as I understand it, uses a broadcast technology that is not the same old data stream or text messaging or voice. It's a whole nother set of bandwidth, because those, of course, get really clogged up during any kind of emergency situation.
Right.
And this is broadcast, and it broadcasts, best I can understand it, from the cell towers to everyone whose phone is talking to that cell tower.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's geographically... It has pros and cons. The pro is you don't have to worry about where you're traveling. You don't have to say, I'm going to be in this state, so send me alerts for this state. If you are in contact with the tower that says it needs to broadcast that message, you're going to get it. So that's really good. On the other hand, you may not be directly in the path of the hurricane or the tornado, and it may be, for you, a false alarm.
Right.
Okay. Now let's go over to Mr. Barron's implementation, which I also read about. And if I understand correctly, you sign up for specific geographies that you want to be warned about. Is that right?
That's right.
So if you happen to travel outside of those, I think you get four.
You can get four.
Somewhere else, you're not going to get any kind of warning.
Right. But this is the functionality of some of these solutions, right? Not all of them are going to be perfect. Is based on the fact that you're either going to be home or you're going to be on your mobile. You're going to have to pick and choose whether you think is going to be the best service for you.
Exactly. And let's take this one step further. What I would like to see Mr. Barron or some other clever entrepreneurs do is combine the two.
Right.
Okay, so
right.
You're talking to the cell tower, but then overlay that with the more detailed information about where you are. One of the experts they had talking about this in some of the articles, and his company has written a white paper, explained that unlike GPS, which he described as being a two-way system where you communicate with satellites, which of course you don't, this broadcast was one way. And I think if we could add on to that you're in contact with this cell tower, and based on GPS, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, any of the other locating technologies, we can put you in or outside the zone of impact, then we can either send you an alert or not. And that's sort of the holy grail, I would argue, at least at this point.
Yeah, and it also lends itself, I think, to do something of a hybrid nature like you're talking about, to social nets and people tweeting of a more location-based nature, people pinpointing exactly the location of storms and squalls and tornadoes and whatever that may be. That could all be amalgamated and again, more closely refine the alert, if that's possible.
Maybe that's something down the road. And let's not forget, too, that because these situations are so localized, the information can get delivered without technology. Okay, so here in Massachusetts, 2 or 3 years ago now, we had a water main break, and they feared that the water for much of the Boston area was not going to be drinkable. It was going to make you sick. So it was on the radio. It was being distributed by sort of local media. I was not paying attention, but I showed up at the grocery store, which was packed with people, and everyone's buying bottled water. So I said, "Hey, what's up?" And they said, "Oh, we're having this water emergency." Okay, so I bought my gallon of water, and the information got spread amazingly effectively, I thought, without any of this fancy schmancy kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, and last year during the April 27 situation here, my Twitter was highly effective, at least for those who could recharge their phones because we were without power. And that was another situation that happened, is that up until the time that we lost power, which is about 5 in the evening here in the Huntsville area, we were all glued to our TV sets. But when power went out, that created a real problem because the go-to source for emergency situations are TV stations, which are all very sophisticated with Doppler radar and more so. We lost it. We absolutely lost it. We were completely blind about anything. And that's exactly when some of these other tornadoes touched down. So a service like the ones we have, whether it's commercial or government, are really, really going to be effective. And then, of course, if somebody could collect all of the social media, the Twitter or Facebook, whoever, and get that all together and start broadcasting that out, that's going to be, I think, really entirely helpful, in particular in the aftermath of some of these storms. That's all the time we have for today. Our sponsor, Esri, would like to remind you that business analysts and community analysts include updated 2011 to 2016 demographics data for population, households, income, and housing. This data ensures accurate results in your research to help you make better decisions. To learn more about these updates, visit esri.com/demographic data. If you'd like to comment about today's broadcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com or leave a comment in the comments section where this podcast is posted. And from us here at Directions Magazine, we'd like to remind you that our Location Intelligence Conference 2012, that is in conjunction with the Oracle Spatial Users Conference, will be held May 22nd, 23rd in Washington, D.C. at the Reagan Building and International Trade Center. To learn more about the event and to register, go to locationintelligence.net. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.